A new report released today found out Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders surviving domestic and family violence are not having the adequate responses they need. While there are some adequate response services for First Nations survivors, much more culturally appropriate services need to be implemented so children and survivors of domestic violence can heal. I ask CEO of the Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Child Protection PIC, Garth Morgan, what the report entails.
The research that we're doing seeks to fill a major gap in the evidence base relating to domestic and family violence. Currently, the majority of DFV programs fail to take into account the unique needs and experiences of children in the child protection system that are exposed to violence. And we know that the impacts are significant and long-lasting. You know, the trauma that children experience from exposure to violence affect their ability to learn, their ability to develop healthy friendships and relationships, and manage their own feelings and emotions. We also know there are longer-term impacts on children being able to eventually hold down jobs, participate in employment fully, and also to avoid the criminal justice system. So that's why the research that we're doing is so important. We're looking at the unique needs of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. We're putting them at the centre of responses to domestic and family violence.
So why is it important to address the needs of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children experiencing domestic and family violence in a culturally appropriate way in the system?
You know, we found that there has been a lack of sustained investment in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander developed programs to heal our own children and families. And what we're finding is that programs that aren't culturally safe and that aren't children-centric, you know, tends to result in our children ending up being removed from their families, their country and culture. And we've seen that continue from 2015 all the way through to the present time, the numbers increasing of children going on to child protection orders. So we've seen successive governments failing to invest in a system that's fit for our children, you know, one that's centred in culture, despite the fact that domestic and family violence and its impacts on kids are a serious issue that needs a comprehensive response. And so what our research is highlighting is the need for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations to be able to design a system for their local communities with their local communities. The data from 2020-21 shows that 41% of newly substantiated child protection cases for our children involve exposure to domestic and family violence.
An interesting thing that I've read about the report is that there's a link or a relationship between the colonization and violence. Could you please expand a little bit more about this link?
Now, since colonization, we've seen our people continue to be removed. And when that happens, they're removed from their families, their cultures, their country. Their ability to parent is eviscerated by the impacts of being removed through colonization. And we found that when you have children that are removed, and then their children are removed, and then their children are removed, Aboriginal parenting is being destroyed at the hands of the colonisers. And so we're finding that trauma, intergenerational trauma, is passed down through the generations. And unless we can actually break that cycle of intergenerational trauma, allow people to heal, bring back cultural ways of parenting, we'll continue to see the impacts of colonisation on things like domestic and family violence.
Now, according to the report, what are some of the service responses that work so far in the system for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people?
When families get to participate up front at the start of any response, when Aboriginal people involved in the service that are going to benefit from the service are also part of the design of the service, ensuring that people that have got cultural authority for those children are involved in helping to decide what's best to do with and for those children. So absolutely, the participation of Aboriginal people is critical. Having culturally safe environments is really important, and it probably can't be understated how important this is, that if you don't have a culturally safe environment, Aboriginal people are not going to engage, which is often mistaken for non-compliance. And we see children being removed because Aboriginal parents are not able to, you know, tell their story in a way that's understood, in a way that is sensitive and safe for them.
Now, my understanding of this report is this is the first of two reports. So what's the future work on this issue?
So the report will culminate in the development of a framework that sets out how governments need to be investing. It will look at what the system needs to be made up of, who needs to be involved. It'll look at things like what our workforce needs to look like. It'll look at things like how do we ensure that these programs are child-centric and healing-focused and trauma-informed. And so the second report will really unpack the what's next, what are the things that we need to start doing, which will then also lead to the development of a third report or a framework that will come out of that. Governments need to start giving up power. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have been impacted by violence in their homes, in their communities, need to be able to determine the best way for them to heal and how to break the cycle of violence. It's critical that we have the needs of children at the centre of DfE responses, and that's what we're hoping to do with this research.
That was CEO of the Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Child Protection Peak, Garth Morgan. And for more information about the report, you can go to our website at thewire.org.au.